Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The FT. Welcome to World Weekly, with me, John Thornhill, standing in this week for Gideon Rackman. On the show, we will be discussing Portugal. The government there has been praised for its enthusiastic adoption of EU fiscal medicine, but now looks to be in trouble. Pedro Passos Coelho, Portugal's Prime Minister, is one of Europe's staunchest backers of austerity, but his government's painful two-year programme of structural adjustment has yet to deliver the results promised. And late last week, the country's constitutional court issued a ruling that could fatally undermine his efforts to get the economy back on track. Joining me in the studio to discuss his predicament is Ben Hall, the FT's European news editor, and in Lisbon, Peter Wise, the FT's Portugal correspondent. Peter, if we could start with you, could you tell us what triggered the latest crisis?
Yes, the president and some opposition parties had referred several items in the 2013 budget to the Constitutional Court, as they suspected they might contravene the Constitution. And after 3 months of deliberation, the court ruled last Friday that indeed four of the nine contested measures were in breach of the Constitution. The two most important ones were plans to eliminate one of the extra monthly payments that state workers and pensioners receive in the summer, and also to they also ruled against a reduction in unemployment and sickness benefits. And this effectively has blown a hole of about 1.3 billion euros in the government's budget this year. And overall, under the bailout program, Portugal was committed before this ruling to reducing state spending by 4 billion, or about almost 2.5% of GDP, over the next 3 years. And the ruling now has increased that by more than a quarter to 5.3 billion over those 3 years.
And what is the government going to do to fill in the hole? What are their options?
Yes, this is a pretty tall order, but what Mr. Passos Coelho, the Prime Minister, said is that they will stick to the budget deficit targets that have been set under the program, although it has to be said those have been relaxed twice already, that he will stick to those new targets and he will compensate for the rejected measures by introducing further spending cuts, particularly focusing on health, education and social security. This poses a particular challenge because to bring about some of those cuts, he might also run up against the Constitution again. He has suggested that a constitutional revision might be needed to bring about some of these changes, but that seems very unlikely that the opposition parties whose votes would be needed would agree to that.
How is the underlying economy faring?
I think the Portuguese do feel a certain sense of injustice in the sense that the bailout program, which was negotiated in May 2011, had forecast that this year would be a year of recovery, that the budget deficit would reach 3% of GDP this year. But in fact, as it's turned out, after two very tough years, Portugal is facing an even deeper recession. Unemployment is much higher than forecast and is not forecast even officially to come below the current rate for at least another 4 years. So I think the Portuguese feel that they have done everything they've been asked to do by their international lenders. They've been very staunch in meeting all the conditions and terms of the bailout agreement, but they're not feeling any benefits. In fact, the whole economy and the outlook for the economy has got a lot worse.
And how does that leave the Prime Minister's position? Because, I mean, as you say, he's been a very staunch supporter of austerity, saying that if we take our medicine now, that the economy will turn around and things will come right. If that's not happening, then how does that leave him politically?
He has a comfortable majority in Parliament, so he's not under any immediate threat. I think the new round of spending cuts that he announced last weekend will also play very well for his coalition partners, the smaller Conservative party, known as the Popular Party, who are very much in favour of spending cuts and against any further increases in taxes. But it does pose serious difficulties for Mr. Passoscheglu in the sense that his opponents, and not only the opposition parties, but employers' organisations and many senior figures within the government parties themselves, believe that the austerity programme just isn't working and isn't delivering what it promised to deliver. But I think the government feels, particularly the Finance Minister, Viktor Gaspar, who is perhaps the main driver behind the practicalities of the programme, feels that as long as Portugal does stick to the letter of the agreement, that if it can't get back to the bond markets as planned in September, or if it can't successfully terminate the program by mid-2014, that Germany in particular will come to its rescue, as it were, in the sense of providing further support until Portugal is in a position to get back to the markets and start funding itself, as long as it does keep to what it's committed to.
Okay, Ben, we're hearing from Peter that many people in Portugal think that austerity is not working. Are there any signs of a rethink at the EU level? Do you think there will be any greater support for Portugal along the lines that Peter's suggesting?
I don't envisage any big policy shift at an EU level on this, but I think it's certainly true that concern about self-defeating austerity is spreading across, spreading fast, actually, across southern Europe. I think it was very interesting that this week, Mariano Rajoy, the Spanish Prime Minister, came out with some pretty critical comments about the EU, about the lack of solidarity shown in the EU. This is from a centre-right Prime Minister in Spain who's been very gung-ho about pursuing austerity himself, but is clearly becoming incredibly frustrated by a lack of solidarity from the rest of the Union, and particularly a lack of progress on all sorts of measures needed to restore confidence in the Eurozone, particularly sort of banking union. And we also saw Mario Monti at the weekend, at the risk of pushing up Italy's deficit and its debt, writing a very large check, 40 billion euros, to help pay off government debts to private companies, which will also help boost demand. So there is clearly a feeling across the periphery that more needs to be done, and actually governments seem to be, if anything, taking matters into their own hands. But in an election, German election year, I do not see any great relaxation of austerity across the Eurozone.
I think that's the really interesting issue. As you say, Germany is the country that really matters in the Eurozone. And the US Treasury Secretary was in Europe this week and urging Germany to do more to stimulate its own economy for the benefit of the Eurozone economy as a whole and Portugal. Do you think that that message is just not being heard in Berlin?
No, I mean, it wasn't really heard for the last 3 or 4 years of Timothy Geithner's constant pleas for Germany to do more. And I don't see why Jack Lew will have any more success in that regard. I think there is one big caveat here, though. At the moment, the rest of or the core Eurozone, if you like, and the markets seem pretty unmoved by the agonies of Eurozone countries dealing with austerity. The big caveat, I think, with Portugal is that everybody in Europe wants to see a success story, wants to see Portugal and Ireland, for that matter, exit their bailout programs and return to markets. And I think markets could be very, very spooked if Portugal is not helped to get back into the markets. And the documents prepared for this weekend's meeting of EU finance ministers in Dublin suggest that Portugal will have difficulties in getting back into the markets unless it is given an extension of its bailout loans. And even then, it may need some extra assistance. And I don't think political parties in Germany want to see a failure in Portugal, which, as you mentioned, was certainly seen as a good pupil in the Eurozone for taking some pretty unsavoury medicine in terms of austerity.
Peter, if I can come back to you, how is the market reacting to this latest crisis? Do you think there is a real problem for Portugal in accessing the markets?
There was a wobble, certainly in the Portuguese stock market, in reaction to the Constitutional Court's decision, and also Portugal's bonds did suffer. But it was a fairly short-lived blip, and there haven't certainly been any serious fluctuations in response to the decision. But I think in terms of getting back to the markets, the whole situation with Portugal and the fact that the court decision has thrown its bailout program off course does raise the question of whether Portugal will be able to return to to the markets as scheduled by this September. It had made some successful forays into the market. There was a bond swap back in October last year, and in January this year, it auctioned a 5-year bond quite successfully. The next stage was due to be a 10-year bond issue. That was expected at any moment now, but following the ruling of the Constitutional Court and now some doubt raised over whether Portugal will be granted an extension in the maturities of its bailout loans, has thrown that all up in the air, and it seems quite unlikely that this 10-year bond will be issued shortly, and that really calls into question whether Portugal will be able to regain full access to the markets by September.
All right, we'll wrap it up there. My thanks to Ben Hall in the studio here in London and Peter Wise in Lisbon. World Weekly is produced by Martin Starber. Until next week, goodbye.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.